Good evening. I want to welcome each one here this evening. Special welcome to the youth. I feel privileged to get invited to a youth retreat. It makes me feel young, even if I am not that young anymore. So thanks for the invitation. It was good to have a good excuse to come back to Michigan again. And as Brent was sharing, he was mentioning the different people that helped out, and I thought of the parents that helped out here, the people that are on the youth committee. Thanks for putting this together. People that are dumping time into the youth, you know, that's incredible to have. You youth are blessed to have parents around you in the church community that care about doing stuff with and for the youth. That's already a blessing that a lot of youth here in America don't experience, is parents around them that truly care about their soul and care about their salvation. So tonight I feel like I'm already talking to a group of youth who are blessed, who are, I trust, already in the warfare, already in the fight between good and evil. And a lot of sharing tonight, and also tomorrow, I'm going to be sharing in the understanding that you're in the kingdom. We're going to talk some about who we are, why we are. We're going to talk some about works. And all these things, I just want to say beforehand, are to people who are already in the fight. And I trust also that if you're here this evening and you're not in the battle, you're not engaged against the warfare against evil, that this topic can make you want to be in the fight. And this evening we're going to look at living intentionally. And we got quite a few different points we're going to cover. And when you think about living intentionally, you think about making efforts and choices and doing something about them, more than just thinking about it. And I'm going to start by reading in John 17. In John 17, Jesus is talking here, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, he will give eternal life to all who you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do." And I want to look at the thought there, what Jesus said. He said that he finished the work that God had given him to do. And I just want to think about that for a little bit. Does everybody sitting here this evening realize that they have a work? Does everyone here this evening realize that God has called you to a work? And at the end of life, are we going to be able to say that we have finished the work that has been given us to do? And when we look at that through the thought of intentional living, like making efforts to do the work that God called you to do. And at first I wasn't sure that I'm going to be able to have two topics on living intentionally. But if you think about it, like if God actually has called each person sitting here to a work, and then is there a work for you? Do you ever wonder like why am I here? And the question comes up sometimes, and I know it did for me, especially when I was younger, like, is there a place for me? And sometimes we wonder why, and we wonder where, and we wonder who. And now I'm going to turn to Ephesians 2:10. I'm just going to read one verse. And it says there, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the answer is yes, there is a work for you to do. The answer is yes, God has a plan and a purpose for you, and there is a work for you to do. And he prepared it beforehand. Before you were even born, God set up a work that he has called you as an individual to do. And when you think about how neat it is that the God that created the heavens, the earth, each one of us here, he has a plan for each soul here. Before you were born, it says that he prepared beforehand a good work for you to do so that you can walk in that. And the answer I want you to remember is yes, I am called. And yes, there is a purpose. And yes, there is a work for me to do. There is something that God has chosen me to do that only I can fill that need. And in order to feel and to hear the calling and to understand our value and to understand the need and the desire that God has to claim us as his children, there's just so many things that can play into that, that Satan tries to, he tries to foggy our understanding of who we are. He tries to foggy our purpose in life. And I think of a man I met in Bloomfield. His name was Carlton. And he was I think he was 78. And he was an older man. And his wrist, his arm, just below his wrist was turned like a half a notch off. And I had asked him about it. And he said, oh, that was a tragic accident. He said one time he was mowing hay and he had one of them sickle mowers that stuck out the side of his tractor. And somehow something happened to where Carlton fell off the tractor and he landed on his hands in front of the sickle mower. And it came along and it cut his one arm entirely off. And the other arm he had mangled to where he could hardly lift it. And so he had one hand off, the other arm mangled, and he was out in the middle of a hay field. And he was about a half a mile off the road and he was starting to bleed to death. And he started walking toward the road. He was just trying to stay conscious and mind his business, and he seen a neighbor coming, and the neighbor noticed him, and he waved at him. Well, all he had was a stub arm, and he waved a little bit, and the neighbor blew the horn and kept going. So there was Carlton in the middle of the field with losing blood rapidly, and he was pretty discouraged, but he kept on walking. He was getting weaker, and he was getting closer to the road, and another person he knew came by. And he waved and blew the horn and waved, there's neighbor Carlton having a good time out in his field, and he kept on going. And nobody noticed when he waved that he had just the stub until he got right along the highway. And somebody noticed him, and he was nearly dead till they got him to the hospital, but he was saved. And what I want to think about is about living intentionally. And think about the work that God has called you to do. And if people would have paid close attention, they would have noticed that Carlton was missing a hand. And so many times in life, the work that God has called us to do, we don't see it because we're not paying attention. We don't notice the little things that only you can do because of your lot in life. A need that only you can fill in somebody's life because God has prepared a work for you as an individual. And I wonder sometimes, like, how many spiritually, how many hands are cut off and we don't notice it because we're not intentionally doing the work that God has called us to do. We don't find purpose and meaning in our life and our eyes and our ears ain't opened to the little mundane everyday things that are sitting right on our doorstep. And just an encouragement and to keep our eyes open and live intentionally for the good of others. When you think of living intentionally, often the idea comes up of doing things. And doing things and good works and all them things, they can't save us. They are not going to save us. But what they can do is they can help somebody around us who's hurting. You know, good works is the evidence of somebody that's serving Christ. But often we think of good works as something people do try to gain favor with God or to try to gain something. Good works are for you to live out your mission. They're for you to do to help the people that God has brought into your life. Are we living intentionally? And living intentionally is a big part of living intentionally is understanding, like, the very first part of Ephesians 2:10 there, it says, "For we are his workmanship." And if you want to live intentionally, understanding that we are God's workmanship, I think is a big part of making us answer the call that God has on our life. Did somebody mind getting me water? I got used to drinking some water when I'm up here. Sorry. And when you read in Ephesians 2:10 there, it says that we are God's workmanship. And what workmanship is, it's more than just a by chance. I'm just going to read. I got quite a few things wrote down here. I hope I don't bore you guys with facts and reading. Identity, what we are. What are we? Why are we sitting here this evening, and what are we? If you're going to live intentionally, you're going to have to know what you are. And it says that you are his workmanship. You're something that God created with purpose and with meaning. And that's your identity. That's what we are. And his workmanship, and we are God's workmanship. He carefully, a carefully crafted masterpiece. Our value is locked by the Creator before we ever do a single thing. Like before we do anything, we are already locked by the Creator as one of his masterpieces. Thank you, Brent. Do you realize that you're one of God's masterpieces? And over the next this evening and tomorrow morning, we're going to look at 4 points. We're going to look at our identity, our purpose, our responsibility, and then what that looks like. And your purpose is, why are you here? Your identity is, what are we? And your responsibility is, how do we respond to understanding that we're God's workmanship? The difference between good intentions and intentionally living. There's a big difference. Good intentions, they really don't get us anywhere. And I've already heard it said that good intentions are the pavement to the highway of hell. And that's strong language. But if you think about procrastination and you think about someday I'm going to do something, and that's good intentions. I intended to. I was thinking about it. I was going to try to. That is one thing. But living intentionally is totally different. That's doing something about it. If you're intentional, you have desires and goals and thought, and you're thinking about it. It's like, I want to start eating healthier. I want to spend less money. I want to do more reading. You know, it's something, it's just an intention. It's like a wish or an aim. It's not something you're doing. It's a wish or an aim. But when you're living intentionally, it's execution. It means that you're taking yourself off of autopilot. You're aligning your daily actions with your core values, and you're making purposeful choices to build what you want regardless of the distractions. That's living intentionally. You're going to do what God called you to do regardless of the distractions. Having good intentions is just passive thoughts and plans. Living intentionally is active doing. It's execution. Having good intentions is what you want to happen in the future. It's something that you hope or something that you want to happen in the future. And living intentionally is have you behave and make decisions today. Like you're doing something today that's making you, helping you with the choices that you made. You're doing something. Having good intentions can lead to regret or procrastination, but living intentionally leads to personal growth and lower stress and more joy. You know, it's living intentionally. What truly matters to me? What do I actually really truly care about? What do I want to do? What do I plan to do? What's my mindset? Pay attention. What are my habits? What do I catch myself doing on impulse? And you have to make conscience efforts. You have to try. You can't just say, you know what, I'm going to start being intentional. Intentional living is starting to, you execute it right now. It's something you see. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time looking at your identity and what we are and who we are. Like, what are we and why are we here? It says that we're God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship that he carefully crafted. And you're like, one thing is to realize is that you're a unique design. And I'm not quite sure how to explain it to you all to make it personal enough, but the problem is a lot of times we forget. We forget that we're God's masterpiece. And this evening, I wish I could somehow explain to you all what it looks like if God is creating something. And if God is creating something, he doesn't make mistakes. And if God prepared a work beforehand, even before you were born, he doesn't make mistakes. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and he designed you. You are God's masterpieces. Is something I want you guys to keep with you. And if there's one thing you remember today, remember that you are designed by God and that you are God's masterpiece. You were created by a God who makes no mistakes and made no mistakes. You are not a mistake. You are designed perfectly the way you are because that is exactly what God had in mind when he created you. And the problem is if we go through life thinking or feeling like we're a mistake, and or sometimes we think maybe we're just an afterthought, or maybe we were just born, our parents were having children, and we just came along, and we're just part of the group. We're just maybe an afterthought. That is coming from the devil. That is not the truth. That is a lie from Satan. He's always trying to get us to believe that maybe we're not really supposed to be where we are. Maybe we're really not needed. Maybe we don't have a work. Maybe we don't have a calling. Them noises are from the devil and they're not true. And when we don't understand that we are God's masterpiece, there's so many things. Like, we can get caught in the comparison trap. You know, there's so many things that make us want to compare ourselves with others to see if we're accepted. With the social media, it's like all the endless scrolling where you can see everybody else's highlights and what they're doing. And you can compare yourself and you're like, I'm not meeting the standard. I'm not meeting the standard. I'm not quite there. And then when you look at your messy behind the scenes reality and try to compare it with people's reels and their feeds and their things that you're seeing that are perfect, it don't feel like we measure up. And we look at other people's edited and filtered perfections. And then naturally we know that we're flawed and sometimes we're a poorly made product. Sometimes we feel that way. And we compare that with a filtered perfection that we see by looking at others. If we don't understand that we're a masterpiece, sometimes we can start look around and start comparing ourselves. And then our value of who we are goes down. And if our value goes down, intentional living is very tough. Sometimes in our culture, performance, how we perform makes us decide if we're one of God's masterpieces. It can be in school, it can be in sports. Sometimes even our families can teach us that our value is tied to what we do. Maybe it's our grades, maybe it's our scores, maybe it's our statuses, or when we fail or we underperform, we feel like we don't quite meet it. And we feel like we're a mistake instead of a treasured creator's design. Do you ever feel like that? If we don't understand that we're one of God's masterpieces, sometimes we can get a label or baggage of something somebody said to us and we hang on to it. We hang on to a lie or a title that's not true. It can be any words that you're carrying from a peer, somebody over you, like a parent, a teacher, It can be a child that was older than you in school, or somebody called you lazy or stupid or unwanted, or maybe you felt like a burden to people. You were always in the way. And then we start looking at ourselves as maybe we were an afterthought and just a code that slipped in this world. And so often, and I think that's something that our culture, with how easy it is to compare ourselves with each other and how easy it is to see what other people are doing, it can be real hard to remember that I am created by God with a purpose and a plan. And a masterpiece, it's valuable. It's something that was made because it's like it was made by an artist. It's worth something. Your worth isn't based on your grades and your sports or your followers. It's based on the one who drew your blueprint. Do we understand this evening that our worth is based not on what we look like when we look in the mirror, not on the road that God has called us to walk, but on the fact that we were designed by God, and the one that designed you is the creator of the entire universe. He's the one that is the only reason any of us are even in the church building tonight, because he's giving us breath. He gave us life. We have heartbeat today. That's something that God gave us. He designed us. And can we remember that? A workmanship is something that it's to make or to do. It's something that was created. It differs directly to the finished work of a craftsman, a sculptor, or a builder. It's even goes to show that it can be something that a writer, like a poetry, something that a writer put together. It signifies something that did not happen by accident, but was intentionally designed and executed with skill. Do we feel that this evening? Do we understand that this evening, that we're something that was made with skill? We're something that we're more than just a product of life. We are designed masterpiece by God. And I think I'm just going to read a whole ton of facts about what the Bible says about a masterpiece. And if you are a designed product of God, you're not a mistake. You're a needed individual. And in the Bible, what else does it say? Where can I turn if I'm questioning whether I'm truly one of God's masterpieces? Where can I turn in the Bible if I wonder if God really, really needs me here? Or if the questions are going through my mind that maybe I was an afterthought, or maybe I don't meet up. The Bible is loaded with facts to prove that you are God's masterpiece. And I'm just going to read over them. We already read the one there in Ephesians 2. We're God's poetry. Poetry is masterpiece. You were and are handcrafted artwork designed with intent, skill, and a creative genius God. That's in Ephesians 2:10. The Bible also says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were not a mass product. You were a custom woven in awe-inspiring precision and in secret. That's Psalms 139:14. It says that you're clay in the master's hand. You're intentionally shaped, smoothed, and formed by an ultimate potter who touched every single detail in your life. Isn't that a good feeling? Isaiah 64:8. Every single detail in your life, God was there. He's seen you. He let things in life shape you, and it's for a purpose and for a reason. You were known before you were in the womb. You are a deliberate thought of God. You were designed with purpose. You were locked in before the universe even was created, Jeremiah 1:5. You were bought at an incredible price. Your value is immeasurable because the master's artist paid for you with his own son. Your life, you were paid for by Jesus. That was a price he paid for you. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You're carrying the image of God. Even if you don't like how you look, even if you don't like your facial features, your height, the color of your hair, or something about you you don't like, you're carrying the image of God. You are a living mirror of the Creator Himself, designed to reflect the character and the beauty of God, Genesis 1:27. You're a new creation. Your old mistakes and flaws and negative labels had been completely erased. You're a brand new masterpiece under construction. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a sacred place. God's own Spirit chose your life at His permanent dwelling place for His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're chosen, you're royal, and you're holy. You are not an afterthought. You belong to a royal high priest set apart to show others the goodness of God. That's in 1 Peter 2:9. You're the light of the world. You're God's strategy to pierce the darkness. Isn't that a high calling? You're God's strategy to pierce the darkness. Your life is meant to shine that others can see His work and find Him. Matthew 5:14. You're an ambassador for Christ. You are trusted, entrusted representative of the King, set into the world with authority to carry His message. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Deeply and unconditionally loved, no flaw or failure can make an artist abandon his masterpiece. Nothing can separate him from the Master's love, and that's in Romans. And I just share all them different things to try to get your mind to shift to who am I? If you ask, like, who am I, to whose am I? And who you are God's masterpiece. And all these different verses point to the value and the desire that God has for you in this world. He has a plan. He has a purpose. When I think about negative thoughts or labels that sometimes depends what we're going through in life, and we hear certain things, or somebody says something to us and it hurts. They say the wrong thing at the wrong time and we believe a lie. Maybe they just tell you you're no good and you believe it. Maybe they tell you you don't care and you believe it. Maybe they tell you that you're out to cause problems and you believe it. You name it. If you think, just take a minute and think over your life and think, is there something that somebody said to me that I believed? Is there a lie that someone called me? Is there something that I labeled myself as from something someone else said and believed it? And if you think back over your life and you think about something, imagine writing it on a card, all the different noises that you say you are, all the different negative things that you don't like about yourself. And you write all them negative things on a card, and then you turn that card around, put all that bad stuff down, and write masterpiece on the other side. And that's truly what you are. And we have so many noises in this world that are trying to tell us the negative things. My prayer is this evening is that you can turn that around, that you can flip that and say, yes, I am God's masterpiece. Yes, I am created for a purpose. I am created for a reason, and there's a work for me to do. And that's feeling needed. It's feeling valued in God's kingdom. And I trust that you are. And I trust that you can feel you are. And if the devil is lying to you, give it to Jesus. We serve a God who already knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows if we accepted a title that's not true. He knows if we're believing a lie. Give that away. Give that to Jesus. He'll erase it. And look at the other side of your index card that says, I am a masterpiece created by God. And I, beforehand, God prepared a work for me to do. You're a masterpiece, and you have a work to do here on this earth. And when you think about a work, when you think about a work on this earth, it says that, for we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for what? And then it says, for good works. And I'm not sure how far through the next point I'm going to get. But the idea of the purpose in life. Why are we here? You know, if we do understand that we are God's masterpiece, and we do understand that we were created by God, then why are we here? It says that we're here for good works which God prepared beforehand. We are not just here to drift on autopilot. God laid out the pavement and prepared a specific assignment, custom tailored for your life. And that is going from just being a passive consumer of life to an intentional player in God's story. When you understand your purpose, you go to an intentional player in God's story. And I hope this weekend that we can take our minds and we can erase the negative and we can come to the spot where we say, we understand and we believe that we are God's masterpiece, and then we understand the purpose of why we are here. Why am I standing here? What am I doing here? Why me? Why here? Why now, Lord? There's things that are hard. There's things that I don't understand. There's things that I'm having struggles with. And you know what? We're here. It says here that we're here for good works. And God has called you to a detailed calling in life that nobody else can fill but you. And when you think about the guy with the cut-off arm, and you see somebody that's needing help, you see somebody that is missing something, and when you start living out your calling in life, when you start walking the road that God called you to, you will start seeing limbs cut off. You'll start seeing work to do right where you are. I know often we think of being called by God as being called to like a foreign mission. And that's true and good. And there's tons of people that are called to foreign missions. There's people that are called to ministry. There's people that are called to all kinds of things. But what I want to focus on is your calling right here, right now, today, right where you are with the people and the friends that you have in your life. God didn't just bring you around the people you're around for no reason. He didn't bring the parents into your life that you have for no reason. We serve a God that don't make mistakes. You have a calling and you have a mission and you have a work to do right here today with the people that are close to you. And sometimes we say, why? And I think if we understand why, I think we can get ourselves to the spot, Lord, where we can say, Lord, you know, I'm willing. When we understand our purpose, when we understand our calling, and we understand who we were created by, the side effects of understanding that is saying, Lord, here am I, send me. The side effects of understanding why me, why here, and why now, the side effects of that are, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to do and to work and to care and to love and to give to the people right here in my life. The Bible even says that if you even so much as give a cup of cold water to a child in his name, you'll be blessed for it. How many of us look at that as like a calling? How many of us look at that as a design by God for you? And it's them little things in life. It's them little things that are right beside us that only you can take care of, only you can do. And when you find that purpose, it motivates and it gives meaning and it gives light. And it gives life to our step. It makes us, it says that the effects of that is that we're going to walk in them. We're going to understand and we're going to walk in them. I'm going to look a little bit yet this evening of what happens when you don't understand your purpose. I'm going to read a list of kind of negative things. And these is a list of things when you don't understand why me, why here, and why now? If you don't understand your purpose in life, for thing number one, you're not going to be living intentionally. Because you're not even going to realize why God has you sitting here this evening. You're not going to realize why God has you in the family he does. Without purpose, your life's going to be meaningless, obviously. And if you don't understand your purpose in life, you're going to be always trying to fill it with pleasure. There's going to always be a void and a tension. There's something missing. There's something missing when we don't understand our purpose. And you're always going to be envious of others. If you see people that are doing things that are above and beyond and more glorious or bigger than what you are, you're going to be envious. But if you understand your purpose in life, you're going to accept the road that God called you to. If you don't understand your purpose in life, you're not going to be able to sacrifice self. Any kind of sacrifice is too much. Any kind of sacrifice is too much if we don't understand why me and why here and why now. What is the purpose? And when you do understand the purpose that God has given you, you're going to walk in that. And you're also going to find yourself living, Lord, send me. And the Lord send me might be the people right beside you. And tomorrow we're going to dive a little deeper into the purpose of life. But I want to reflect a little bit before we go through that. I'm just going to take a second to look at the outcome of once we do understand that. And just think about it the rest of the evening. And into tomorrow morning, I want you to think about the fact that I am created by God. He prepared a work for me to do, and there's a purpose. And when we walk in that purpose, we find fulfillment. And tomorrow, we're going to spend a little more time looking at that purpose, the calling. And when you do find that, I trust that your hearts, when I think about this topic, my mind right away went to the song that you guys have, the little song sheet. I don't know how many people know that song, but I believe this is the outcome of somebody that's living intentionally. This song is the outcome of somebody that understands their purpose in life. It's the outcome of somebody that knows they were created by God. They're a perfect masterpiece. Marcus, do you mind starting this song? Hope you guys know it well enough. The title is, Would You Be Poured Out Like Wine? And then the second verse is the answer. And my prayer is that you guys feel this when you sing it.
Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that I would do just as I will? Would you be light and love my words fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be so often with you that I would pay just as and lie and love your word fulfilled.
Thank you. Shall we stand for a closing prayer? Father, we bow here before you this evening and just thank you, Father, for being our Father. Thank you, God, for knowing our needs, for seeing our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for creating us in your image. Thank you, Father, for preparing a work for each one of us to do. Lord, you know that some of us have battle scars. Some of us have titles and we have lies that we believe from Satan on negative thinking and things that we were called and we hung on to them. God, my prayer is this evening that if there's anybody here that is hanging on to a negative title, I pray that your life and your witness of dying on the cross and your shed blood could come to them and that they could ask and just give that title to you, Father, and that you would cleanse it and erase that negative thinking. Father, I just pray that if there's anybody here that is struggling to let go of something that you have not created them to be, that you would just help them, Lord, to see the benefit of handing it to you. And Lord, I just pray that when they hand over the negative or the lie that they're believing about themselves to you, Father, that you would just take it and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, I just pray that every person here tonight could feel valued and needed. And Lord, my prayer is that you would just give us strength to do the work that you've called us to do here on this earth. Father, help us remember that we're in a battle. Help us realize that there's warriors needed to fight against evil. And God, I just pray that we would take the calling on our lives and find purpose and find meaning and be willing to walk the road that you've called us to. Father, I pray also that you would open our eyes to people around us who have missing limbs, people who just need a drink of cold water in your name, people who maybe just need someone to sit down with or someone to care. Lord, open our eyes and our ears and help us, Father, to be who you created us to be and give us strength to walk in the world here on this wicked earth and help us, Father, to just depend on you and to realize that you're a God who gives us strength. Thank you for loving us and thank you for caring for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, each one, for being here tonight. Thank you, all the young people that are here. Just God bless you for being here. Appreciate your presence. To the parents that are here, grandparents, and the children that are here. Again, just thank you so much for being here. Some of you put a lot of miles on. Just thank you for that, for coming. And thank you, Brian, for opening the Word of God tonight to us and teaching us from God's Word. I was encouraged by what we were taught, thoughts that Brent shared on calling us to keeping Christ first in our lives and his word first in our lives. And we do that, the kind of joy that we can find in life is God intended yet to be that way. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's a verse that I take home with us tonight, and I hope we can carry with us in the coming week as well. Thinking of God's workmanship, I'm someone God created for a purpose, not an accident. We all have been given a work to do. And sometimes, Brian just mentioned that we should keep our eyes open for that work. Sometimes I miss it because I'm too busy doing my own things, and I miss what God, those little things that God would have me to do because I'm too busy with my own agenda. That's just what I was challenged with. I thought I'd read a verse from Jeremiah. I believe maybe Brian did touch on it a little bit, but I just thought I'd read it. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You know, we have all been ordained. We were not ordained a prophet like Jeremiah, no. But we have all been ordained unto a work that God has for us. So that's an encouragement to me, and trust it can be an encouragement to all of us. There's a difference between intentional living and between good intentions and intentional living. There's a big difference, and I appreciated the difference that Brian brought out. It's executing my actions, making it happen. Intentional living is actually less stressful and more joyful than just living from day to day. And one more thought that I was just blessed with, and I just thought I'd read that verse as well. Jeremiah 18. The verses 2, 3, and 4 says, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." I am God's masterpiece under construction. That's what stood out to me. Little nugget of truth that I want to take home with me is that I'm God's masterpiece, but I'm still under construction. So thank you so much to each one of you for being here again. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow morning. Everyone's welcome to our church service tomorrow morning. It starts at 10 o'clock. So you're welcome to that. Also, a couple of announcements here. There's a fellowship meal planned for tomorrow after church here at the school. So everyone's welcome to that as well, for a fellowship meal after church. The youth will be playing volleyball at the reception center tomorrow afternoon is the plan, Lord willing. So if you're interested in playing volleyball, I'm sure it doesn't have to be just the youth, but anyone that's interested, I'm sure, is welcome. Also, we'll be holding an offering tonight for Brian's traveling expenses. So that offering basket is in the back on the table there. If you're not prepared tonight for that, feel free to catch up with Marcus tomorrow or sometime and this weekend, and I'm sure he'll be happy to accommodate that. Okay, that's all that I have for tonight. Why don't we stand for a benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. I thought maybe we could, for a closing song, we could sing hymn number 78 in our Christian hymnals, and after the song, you can consider yourselves dismissed. So God bless you.